Remember in late November when Jetstar was briefly thrown into chaos after Airbus grounded its more than 6,000 A320 planes globally? Airbus made that call after an A320 travelling from Cancun, Mexico to Newark in the US had a dramatic and dangerous altitude drop. The global grounding of A320s was to ensure that all those aircraft had an urgent software update. Airbus subsequently put out a statement saying that their analysis of the Cancun flight incident revealed that intense solar radiation may corrupt data critical to the functioning of flight controls, which sounds more than a little concerning. So why and how could solar radiation interfere with flight controls? Before any of us step back on a plane, we thought we'd better speak to Professor Michael Wheatland, who's a solar astrophysicist and professor of physics at Sydney University. Michael, thanks very much for joining us.
Oh, no problem, Julian. Thank you.
What did you make of that Airbus statement saying that intense solar radiation might corrupt data critical to flight controls?
Yeah, it's really interesting, isn't it? I think we've become more aware in recent years, recent decades, how we are vulnerable to events on the sun and how they can cause damage to various systems, communication systems, to satellites. And here's another example in the way that the control system on an aircraft can be affected. I will point one thing out. Actually, the likelihood is that it wasn't a solar particle that caused the event. It's more likely to have been a galactic cosmic ray because there was no solar activity on the particular day.
Well, there you go, because Airbus used the term solar radiation, but quite a few other commentators refer to cosmic radiation. So maybe you could just briefly talk us through the significance of that distinction. I mean, I think we can tell the difference, one's from the sun and the other's from the rest, but what is the significance of that?
Yeah, so I think in this case, the sun wasn't to blame, but it can be to blame is what I would say. So we get cosmic rays, which are energetic particles. They're generally protons, so the nuclei of the hydrogen atom. They arrive at the top of the atmosphere of the Earth all the time. It's a rather large number of them. The sources of them are the sun does produce cosmic rays or solar energetic particles in solar flares. But most of these particles, they're generally cosmic in origin, so they can come from our own galaxy, from supernovae, or they can be of extragalactic origin. And the most energetic ones tend to come from outside our galaxy.
And from what you're saying, around the time of this flight, your data suggests it's not likely that it was solar radiation that was the cause.
No, there wasn't strong solar activity on that day, so it does seem unlikely that the sun was the source of the energetic particle.
Okay, Michael, well, we've certainly now clarified the sorts of radiation that are coming at us pretty fast, but it's another thing to explain exactly why and how it is that that radiation could cause a malfunction in something as mission critical as a plane. And I gather that this has something to do with bit flips.
Yeah.
Starting with the basics, Michael, what's a bit flip?
A bit flip is when, you know, computers store data in bits, that's ones or zeros in the memory of the computer. And that's what's used to control all of the functions, everything that your computer does. And so if a one is turned to a zero or a zero is turned to a one, that's a bit flip. And so they can happen. These unexpected bit flips can happen in your computer. They could be due to a hardware error in your computer, or they could be due to an energetic particle. So these energetic particles interact with the actual hardware of the computer. They collide with atoms in the computer and can cause these bit flips to occur.
Right. And so from what you're saying, this can happen not only with planes closer to the source of the radiation, although I suppose on the scheme of things, still not that different in terms of distance.
Yeah.
How often do bit flips occur?
Yeah, I think it does vary. So they can occur at ground level, and maybe they occur on a daily basis. Mostly it's very benign. It can lead to an error in your computer, or maybe not. As you go up in the atmosphere, then there's less shielding due to the atmosphere for the cosmic rays. So the flux of these particles is much higher, and so they'll occur more frequently at altitude.
If it was a bit flip that caused this incident, that will certainly make it pretty notorious. Are there other famous incidents that are attributed to cosmic or solar radiation? And if so, do you concur with that attribution?
Well, there was another example with another Airbus, a different model that was a Qantas flight that people may remember that was in 2008 where the plane fell very rapidly. It was a little bit different to this case. In that case, it was an error in the flight data, but the Australian Transport Safety Bureau report didn't come to a definite conclusion on the cause of that, but a bit flip was in fact the most likely cause in that case. So there's another example of where something similar has happened. I guess you'd have to say that it's only really when it's like a mission critical system that it matters so much that, you know, these things can happen and be quite benign.
Yes, it certainly does seem in the aviation cases that subsequent reports have sort of eliminated most other explanations and sort of without actually saying, well, this is the cause, they say this is the one we can't eliminate.
Yeah, it's really hard because these things are like silent criminals. They leave behind no very definite evidence. So it is like that. You have to sort of rule out the other possibilities, I guess. You know, most errors in a computer, software errors, which are bugs, and that's something completely different.
On Sunday Extra, we're speaking with Professor Michael Wheatland, solar astrophysicist and professor of physics at Sydney University. And Michael, at the risk of lowering the stakes significantly, we have also come across another attributed event to bit flips, which was someone playing Super Mario 64. And shaving a few seconds off their run time. Now, to some people, that's a very, very significant event. Can we credit or blame BitFlips for that one?
Yeah, I did actually. I read about this one. I think it's a really interesting one, isn't it? I'll start with the caveat that I'm not a game player. So
right,
I don't understand the lingo. But I understand what happened was that in this Super Mario 64 game, the player was able to achieve a jump with Mario that's impossible in terms of what he can do in the game. And it was being filmed, so it was documented in that way. And then this led another player to determine that it was actually a change in a specific byte in the game, which was the attribute of Super Mario's height at that time in the game that caused that to happen. So again, you're ruling out other possibilities. It's not a bug in the game. Apparently, it's most likely to have been an astro particle. Usually, overwhelmingly, bit flips cause nothing to happen, or they might cause bad things, but there's a case where maybe it was positive.
But this really does get you thinking, Michael, so much of what we do, whether it is leisure time and gaming to aviation, is dependent on electronics and increasingly micro or even nano electronics. Does that mean that at some level there is an increasingly elevated risk of bit flips and mission critical bit flips?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that now we have these fly-by-wire systems in aircraft where the pilot turns the wheel, but the way that the elevator aileron is moved is a computer system. So it's vulnerable in that way. And then I think the risk has been increased because we're making the chips even smaller, and that means less energy is required to achieve the bit flip. And so, you know, you then have a larger flux of particles that might cause it to happen. So, yeah, there's all sorts of systems that we now rely on which are potentially vulnerable to cosmic rays and vulnerable also to the energetic particles from the sun to space weather. And then I'll also say that there's many more energetic particles when you go into space, when for satellites, and then when if you go outside the Earth's magnetosphere, which provides some protection, then there's a bigger flux as well. So there's all sorts of risks there.
And Michael, I appreciate that you are a professor of physics at Sydney University. You are not the chief engineer for Airbus and probably can't speak for these sorts of things, but it's sort of to the layperson, in a way, it seems strange that a software update, something that we occasionally have to do on all our devices, can notionally fix this problem. Presumably, it doesn't make the electronics invulnerable to bit flips, because if that was the case, then you'd want everyone to have that update. So what is likely to have been done, and how much protection is it likely to have given?
Yeah, I think it's adding additional fault tolerance. So there's additional checking that's going on in the software to make sure that the information is correct. So I think that's probably the general way to deal with this, to build in additional fault tolerance. I know that in satellite systems that are really vulnerable, they often have multiple processes that are doing the same thing. And you can do a comparison between the outcomes and ensure that you have the right calculation.
So it's an example where it's not really prevention being better than a cure. It's rapid detection, which is the key.
Yeah, rapid identification of the error and then, you know, modifying correspondingly. So I think that has to be the solution. It's really difficult also to shield against this radiation. Mm. It's basically impossible. So I think that is the right approach.
Does it follow also that in times where solar or cosmic radiation is stronger, that these risks are greater?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. So we get more solar energetic particles during the times of solar maximum. And so there are risks there. But actually, there's an interesting effect that the magnetic field in the heliosphere, so the region magnetically connected to the sun, which encompasses the planets, that magnetic field is stronger during solar maximum. And that actually keeps out more of the galactic cosmic rays. So it actually shields us a little from the galactic ones at that time.
And just finally, Michael, with your greater knowledge and appreciation of these issues, does the risk of mission critical bit flips affect your day-to-day decision making? Is that the reason that you don't play Mario and or do you fly?
Yeah. I do fly. I think you have to sort of keep in mind the scale of the risk. There's a risk, but it's relatively small. Modern air travel is incredibly safe. The rate of accidents in air travel is as low as it's ever been. So yeah, it doesn't stop me from flying. I definitely do fly.
Well, based on what you've said, it'd take more than a few bit flips to improve my performance on Mario 64. But thank you very much for joining us on Sunday Extra today.
No problem, Julian.
And we were speaking there with Michael Wheatland, Professor of Physics at Sydney University and solar astrophysicist.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.